News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 23rd of April, Anno Domini 2006, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 8 minutes after the hour, a beautiful 49 degrees under gunmetal gray skies in Rochester, New York, this is Soundbites. Gunmetal gray. We've got news, views, stuff you can use. We're going to do some interesting things today. Going to talk about a lot of interesting stuff. We've got the first thing we should mention, and we're going to mention it several times because it's happening this Wednesday, is a wonderful seminar being put on by the great folks at Frontier.
And that seminar is going to be from 6:30 to 9:30 at the Frontier Learning Center. That's 3441 West Henrietta Road. And the three of us, along with Rob, I guess you're going to have a question answered. Don't shake your head no.
It's no, I'm not going to be able to be there.
Huh?
I'm not going to be able to be there.
What do you mean you're not going to be able to be there?
I can't be there. I told you.
You lie.
What's your name?
Oh, stop it.
You lie.
What's his name?
I've got a late evening meeting that night that I can't attend.
Oh.
It's a
but
late
I will be thinking of you the entire time.
Say no more.
What?
No, we're delighted and thrilled that you have a late evening meeting.
Anyways, then the three of us are going to be there.
Oh, wait a minute.
Who's going to moderate us? Who's going to keep us in control?
Well, he hasn't been able to manage that yet, so I'm not
entirely
certain. What
did I do to you? It's not
problem.
Even 15 after 11 yet.
I know. We're starting on Rob early this show.
Yeah, you
but
are.
We're going to do this Frontier gig, and it's going to be great. We're going to be down there answering questions.
Talking about safe surfing. So anything and everything you want to know about safe surfing. But you folks have to call to register, so call 234-0326 and say that you want to reserve your space to come from the 26th, which is Wednesday, from 6:30 to 9:30, to hear the three of us talk about safe surfing and maybe even get some of your other questions answered.
Now, we have to reiterate that you must call in and register.
Yeah.
You can't just show up. The problem is the people who just show up
get turned away
because it's going to be full, we hope.
Yeah, there's only enough seating for 120 people.
Right. And if enough people want it, I'm sure we'd be delighted, if not actually thrilled, to do it again.
Yeah, I mean, there's no problem there. I mean,
and while you're planning your week, set aside Monday, the 24th, from 5:30 to 9 p.m. For the Rochester InDesign Users Group. If you're an InDesign user, a Mac or Windows, stop by the Carlson Auditorium at the RIT campus. Monday, 5:30 to 9 p.m., Mr. Frank Romano, Professor Emeritus of the School of Print Media, will be speaking.
Really great, Frank Romano.
Really great.
I like
really great, entertaining, engaging speaker. You can get more information at the Jesse Group website, jessegroup.com, or mac-av.com, or the Rochester InDesign Users Group, which is a little too long to quote offhand, so it's easier to go to jessegroup.com. And there's a link at the bottom of the page. You do need to register to attend to the meeting. Do you know how many people at Carlson holds, Nick?
Off the top of my head, I do not.
A lot, but it's same,
a lot, if not
same,
more.
Same sort of thing. It's going to be a very popular meeting, so please go to the website and register to reserve your seat.
Perfect. We'll go to the phones now. Why not? After all, that's one of the things we do here. We're going to talk to Bill from Manchester, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question? Bill, are you there?
Yes, I'm there.
Okay, talk to me.
Okay, I have a couple quick questions, but one is, what's with this generic host process of a Win32?
Oh, yeah.
Is that a problem?
It can be.
Yeah, it can
it's a
be.
Generic process. You have no idea what it is or who is using it.
Yeah.
Right. Microsoft has done a lovely thing in giving us the task manager to show us what's running. Unfortunately, most of what's running just hooks onto a couple of programs that run under Windows. Service host, Win32 host process, a couple of
log server,
things like that are just plain generic. Any program can hook to them and do anything it wants. And Microsoft doesn't give you any way to see in depth what's actually going on.
Because every time I go online, it acts like it wants to phone home.
Some program on your computer wants to get to the internet, and apparently your firewall is popping up with this generic host processor.
Right. Now, It could be any one of a million things. It could be as good for you as your antivirus program looking to update, or some other program on your system looking to update.
Or it's looking for one of the Windows updates that it didn't get the last time.
It could be something as possibly innocuous as RealPlayer phoning home. RealPlayer must phone home every hour. Because I've got it blocked under my firewall, and every hour it pops up.
I have a second. I mean, that comes up on its own, though, occasionally.
Yeah, but there's a bunch of them like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you really, the simple name of the Win32 host process or a host serve or serve host, whatever it is, .exe,
that's generic.
Can't tell you anything. I'm sorry.
Well, if I block it, the internet doesn't work very well.
Yeah, well, see, that's just it. Sometimes,
so many things hook to
you know,
it.
There's a million different processes that use it.
Most
if
good,
you okay
some bad.
It once, it's okayed for everybody.
Yeah. Okay, well, I have my real question now.
That was just the fake question.
I'm trying to build a little home network. And I have a PC, a Mac, and a Canon printer, and a router. And I would like to put the printer on the router so both computers can talk to it.
Does the printer have Ethernet capability?
Well, I don't know. But it's a USB. I read somewhere there's a USB to Ethernet converter.
You can get an adapter.
Yeah, there are adapters. They're fairly expensive. And if the printer wasn't designed to handle Ethernet to begin with, they don't work very well.
I see.
What you can do is you can get a different router. Apple's routers have a USB print server built into them. So that you can plug your printer into the router, and then it works with any computer.
You can get an HP print device for around $40.
Jet Direct print server.
Yeah, well, they only work with HP brand printers, or they only work best with HP brand
printers.
Right,
but there's other generic ones out there like that you can hook it up, install the software, it gives it an IP address, and then usually you can have like two or three printers hooked up.
Right. If Canon themselves don't make a network driver for this printer, it may not work.
Right.
So the workaround is to plug your printer into one computer and let that computer serve it to your network.
Yeah, but then I have to leave the computer on all the time.
Yeah. Right.
Well, right. Alternately, I don't know what your router is or how much you paid for it, but D-Link, for example, their DP301P, is both a router and a print server.
To build them in too, like Apple did years ago.
Right, exactly. We got to take a quick break, but we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, Rob Linton and me, Nick Francesco, all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
On News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Back to the phones in just a moment, but we should tell you that Microsoft, we spoke last week, and we talked about the latest patch. First Tuesday of the month is Microsoft's monthly visitor, and they gave us a bunch of patches. Which have screwed up massive numbers of machines.
Don't!
Machines, exactly. Machines that don't boot, machines that screw up. One person that on our opinion page had to actually call Microsoft and get a key again. Little things like nothing will open out of my documents. Word and Excel won't run. Internet Explorer won't do that.
Well, that makes
ridiculous.
It really secure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Microsoft has deigned to come down from the seats on Mount Olympus and reissue their security patch. Microsoft customers were reporting that it caused problems of all sorts. The new update is presently being tested and is expected to be released this coming Tuesday, the same day that Microsoft is scheduled to release its non-security updates for the month. The update will also provide an automated way of fixing the Windows Registry Configuration Database on affected systems. A workaround that's previously been suggested by Microsoft. So they'll automate mucking about in the registry to fix the mucking up they did last time.
That's a technical term.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Some users have resolved the problem by simply installing the buggy update, but this course of action is not advised by Microsoft because sometimes it just comes back. Microsoft's automatic update services will be able to detect whether or not users require the revised patch and will only offer the software to users who need it. So if you don't need it, you won't get it. So don't worry if you don't get it, as long as your machine is running fine. So that's it. Microsoft issues a patch. Microsoft issues a fix to the patch. Next week, we'll be reporting the fix to the fix.
Stay tuned to next week when the fix is going to need another fix.
Exactly. All right, back to the phones. We've got Dan patiently waiting in Marion, New York. Welcome, Dan. What's your question? Dan?
I'm running in Firefox and Netscape. I cannot get any Flash media to come up. I get the QuickTime symbol with a question mark.
Well, that's not Flash. That's QuickTime.
Well,
they're two separate media players you need for each type of media.
Okay. I've reinstalled both. I can get it to run in IE. And, you know,
Flash or QuickTime?
Okay. I had to enable the ActiveX commands in IE for it to run, but
ActiveX is a different type of media player.
Hold on, Dan. We're talking about three different things now.
Right.
We're talking about which one is the problem.
It looks like it's QuickTime. I installed the latest version, just downloaded it yesterday, installed it. And I'm still getting the same error. It will not load the Roadrunner homepage, www.rr.com /index.cfm.
That doesn't use QuickTime. That uses Flash.
Okay, so it's Flash.
Okay, but I'm getting a QuickTime symbol on it.
Then you've got other problems.
Yeah.
It sounds like a couple of things are not right with this system. One of the things that you can do is in Firefox, you can type into the address bar where you normally type HTTP something, about, colon, config, CONFIG, with no spaces.
Okay.
Actually, what you really want to do is about plugins. About, colon, plugin. So, plugins, PLUGINS, all one word.
Okay.
And that will show you all of the plugins that are in Firefox now.
QuickTime 704.
One of the problems that we used to run into is that the media installers for Flash and Reel and Windows and QuickTime would only install into one browser at a time. You had to run the installer again if you were running into a different browser.
Shockwave Flash is enabled.
What does it say? What version of Flash? Because you might have to update the version.
8.0R24.
I think 8 is the current version of Shockwave, yeah. If you go to Macromedia's homepage, they have which is now Adobe, they have a Flash tester that if this is working, then your Flash is installed properly.
Yeah, I also download the latest version of Flash.
But you might want to try going there to make sure that your Flash is actually working, is what Steve is suggesting.
I was at their homepage, and Flash was not working.
Okay.
You may have to do a full uninstall of Flash and reinstall. Something
is messed up and it doesn't know
it's installed.
Right. It sounds like either there's been a problem with Flash, something else that you installed had a problem with it. It sounds like it was working at one point because Firefox knows about it, but now there's something wrong with it. And it may not be that Firefox doesn't get it. It may be that it's using a version of Flash different from the one IE is using, and the one that's for Firefox is damaged.
And you've run both the Adaware and SpyBot?
I ran Spy Sweeper.
Yeah.
Spy Sweeper, again, the reason we recommend two products is because no one product does the job that both Adaware and SpyBot do. SpyBot goes deep into the registry, whereas Adaware goes wide. There is no one program that does both. So that's why we recommend two products. And because there could be other stuff hiding that's trying to hijack some of the stuff that you're trying to do. So I would recommend try running both Adaware and SpyBot.
You may need also to clear your browser cache and clear your Java cache and all the different caches, too.
The other thing I might suggest you do is in Firefox, under Tools, go to You're looking for a plugin, though, aren't you?
Well, the plugin, the About Plugins thinks it's there, but it's not working.
Yeah.
Well, these don't look.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting. That's an interesting problem. I hate to say this on our second question of the day, but I think you need to take that to somebody. There's something not working quite correctly in that machine, and I'd suggest you take it to a reputable vendor like these two guys and have them take a look at it, because there's clearly something in there. And I don't honestly know if we're just talking about Flash or if we're also talking about QuickTime or something else. And if there's some sort of generalized media screw-up, you've got to have a pair of eyes looking at that thing that know what they're talking about. So I hate to say it, but you need to take that machine to somebody where a pair of eyeballs can actually look at it and fix it. It may be really simple, but you need somebody to take a look. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to have Rob Jason come in and give you the news and the weather and the sports. Of course, at 27 minutes after the hour, it's a lovely 49 degrees right now. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
This Urgent Minute.
Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 32 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites. We've gone up to 50 degrees.
Whoa,
under pearl gray skies here in Rochester, New York. Before we get back to the phones, what?
Pearl gray?
Pearl gray sky.
I think I still like the gunship gray.
You like the gunmetal gray better?
Yeah, gunmetal gray.
I'm polite about it.
Well, it's kind of dismal looking, you know, like it should be raining.
My boss said to me something very profound this weekend.
Uh-oh.
I never met a weekend I didn't like.
Yeah, because they end too fast.
Yeah, but the point is, it doesn't matter if it's raining. It doesn't matter if the skies are gray. It's the weekend.
I read an interesting theory once that how we always complain about how nice it is during the week, and when the weekend comes, it's rainy and dismal and overcast. That's because the waste heat from industry shuts down on Friday, and so the atmosphere just cools off.
It's very possible. Why not? Why not?
So keep those smokestacks running all weekend.
There you go. I hope you're sitting down. There's a whole bunch of newly discovered and completely unpatched bugs in, yes, you guessed it, the OS X platform. There's a bunch of bugs that could be used to crash applications, run unauthorized code on the Mac by taking advantage of bugs in Safari and the OS X operating system. It's a total of 7 bugs. Apple has been made aware of them and plans to fix them in the next security release. Quoting independent researcher Tom Ferris, getting Safari to crash in many different spots is trivial, whereas Firefox is very tough. OS X has increasingly been the focus of security researchers like Ferris. A number of malicious programs, including one called OS X Leap, were released targeting the Macintosh. The SANS Institute Internet Storm Center rated Ferris's bugs highly critical, warns there are no patches or workarounds available for the majority of these vulnerabilities. Really, I guess the workaround is to not use Safari for another week or so.
Well,
until
that's one of the things that's going around all the blogs is this guy is completely interchanging the operating system, the Unix, and
right.
the browser.
Right.
If the browser crashes, you know, big deal. You launch it again.
Well, but if it can run unauthorized code, that would be
that
the
would
definition
be a big deal.
Of bad.
Right.
And
but it has to be root mode, which is not enabled on Macs.
Well,
by
but
default.
I don't know nothing about that. But all I'm saying is I would suggest that you not use Safari for about a week until it's patched.
Until the patches come out, yep.
Right. I'm just saying because it's better to be safe, you know? I know you Mac people believe you're invulnerable.
Well, we don't believe we're invulnerable, but we do believe.
Oh, some of you do.
No, some of them do, yeah. One of the other arguments that we're seeing a lot in the blogs is that this guy is posting the code to the public so that anyone wants to write a virus can. Well, stop it.
Well, that's the argument that Microsoft has had forever. And the researchers come back and say, yeah, but if we don't publish it, the bad guys know it anyway. And it just means you wait longer before you release your updates.
Well, it's a different class of bad guys. There's going to be a very, in fact, you've talked about this in the past. There's a very, very small number of actual intelligent bad guys that are writing viruses.
Right.
All the rest of them are the copycats and the script kiddies. So some the thousands of script kiddies are going to take this code and make bad viruses.
Right.
And then the Leap virus and the other ones that have come out for the Mac were so poorly written they couldn't propagate.
Right.
So it's almost amusing, but with that grain of oh my God, now you know we got to keep in mind in the background now.
Right, and the reality is Mac people need to be aware that they are as vulnerable as anybody else. Run the antivirus, run the firewall, keep your systems safe and secure. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Be careful what websites you surf to. Don't go to the unsavory sites. Don't install peer-to-peer software. All the stuff we've been saying to Windows users for years. You know, just have to pay a little more attention on the Mac.
Right, exactly. The halcyon days are over. Our next phone call, Vito from Chi-Line, New York. Welcome, Vito. What's your question?
Thank you. Hey, you guys have a super program.
Thank you.
Okay, I was installing Picturit 2001, which I've done before on a new hard drive, and I got an internal error, 2735 shoebox, DLL. So I looked it up in Google, and it comes up that what they want me to do is go to C program files, common files, Microsoft shared, and then shoebox, and delete the shoebox folder. And my question is, since I don't know, can I just delete the shoebox folder? I mean, there's 1.12 gigabyte of stuff in there.
Well, there's a couple of things that I might suggest.
Yeah.
One thing you can do is move that shoebox folder to another drive, which
or
does exactly the same thing, or rename it, which does exactly the same thing as far as the software is concerned as deleting it would. That way, if you ever feel you need to put it back or you think there's something in there you'd love to have or you restart the software and it works but something's missing, you can start to play around to see if you can figure out what to put back. But I wouldn't necessarily – I'm not a big fan of deleting anything until I know it's safe.
If you rename it and then, like Nick was saying, though, run it a couple days and nothing – you know, and this is trying all your other software packages out to make sure that, you know, there's something else in there that didn't need.
And this is a common library that a lot of programs use. I just found a support link at Microsoft. The Microsoft Works installer uses this file and gives instructions on how to repair the shoebox if you get this error installing Works.
Yeah, so rename it. Call it Old Shoebox. And then that way, in case you do need some parts of it, you're not going to totally destroy your whole machine.
Well, I'll tell you, if you guys give me that kind of cautionary thing, I'll take it.
There you go.
Go for it. Give it a try. Let us know what happens.
Thank you.
There's also
Vito.
A recommendation to clean your CD, because maybe it's reading the file off the CD is the problem and not writing it to your hard drive.
That's often the problem.
Especially 2001 program. Who knows how he's been storing his disks? And
Right. All right. Our next caller is Ed from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Ed. What's your question?
I have a problem over here. When you click on my computer, you click on drives, and then you click on your file folder. Say you want to copy a file. You highlight the file. You go up to the radio button. You have either move to or copy to. It seems like that stopped working. You click on move to instead of bringing up the list box and telling you where you want to move it to. The pointer changes to an hourglass. It hangs up. It just stays there. It doesn't work. You click to close the window, and it says program not responding, and it just restarts. You get a blue screen, and then your screen comes back. I've tried your security Tango. I have tried running antivirus and everything that's out there, and it shows nothing. I can copy and paste from the edit menu, but that's about it.
Well, tell you what, as you hear, we got music going on in the background. If you hold on, when we come out of this commercial break, we'll address your questions.
So hold on. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, all of you, and of course, we'll have Ed from Fairport on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
We're not sure what Sean Hannity knows about computers, but then again, we're not sure what the Soundbites boys know about anything but computers. Catch Sean Hannity later today on Wham! Now, back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Out the roller disco shoes.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbite.
This is back from your era, is it not? When you used to have the big hair and the...
I'm like at least one era before that. I'm the hippies. I'm the hair.
I was trying
Old
to compliment you, sort of.
Jesus Christ Superstar and those things. That's me. I'm Tommy. It's a whole other era, previous.
Yeah. See, the 60s, okay. The 60s you can't remember, the 70s you try to forget.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's back when 45s were still popular, Rob. If you remember
as
those.
As records, not records. As a caliber.
What are those?
Yeah.
Huh?
Huh? What are those?
Yeah, see? Exactly.
45s.
45s is a record type, not a caliber.
Oh, records. Those are those, yeah.
Yeah, the vinyl things that you don't have anymore.
It was actually an interesting story there. The 45 and the 33 were competing technologies for a long time.
Yeah.
And then it finally came down to the LP, the long playing album was 33, and then the single came out as 45. So.
Right.
Two different companies trying to foist their own standards on the industry.
Exactly.
What does that sound like?
Exactly. All right, we've still got Ed on the line. Now, Ed, let me see if I can recap and get this right. When you click on a file and then go to the edit menu and say copy to folder, you have it freezes, right?
No, basically I can highlight a file. I can go to edit and I can copy to or I can paste all right.
Yeah.
But if I want to use those two radio buttons, which is a faster way to do it.
What radio buttons?
It would be in the Explorer, and it would be just to the left of the delete X. You get move to, and you get copy to. And you click on them, and it'll bring...
Oh, those two.
Yeah, it'll bring down a list box, and it'll show you where you want to copy your files to, and you just click on it and everything. Those two radio buttons don't work. It seems like I click on them, and it'll hang up there. It'll turn to an hourglass. And the program won't work. I go to shut off the window and that, and it says program not responding. But I can copy and paste from the edit menu.
That's so weird.
Have you tried removing that toolbar and then putting it back?
There's
a view toolbar in one of those menus where you can tell it what toolbars to show. Yeah,
you can customize it, yeah.
Yeah, if you right-click on that toolbar, you'll see a link to... you'll see a bunch of them, and one of the ones that's checked is standard toolbar. That's it. You can remove that and put it back again.
You can also customize the toolbar to remove those buttons and then re-add them back to the toolbar.
Yeah. I would suggest you start with that, try that, and then let us know what happens. The next step beyond that, I don't know, might be to reinstall Windows.
Yeah, it's such a low level.
Or it could be one of the patches, because it's not...
you might want to just wait it. Did this just start happening?
Yeah, it just started happening like last Sunday.
Ah, yes. I'd wait a week.
Yeah, I'd wait a week. One of the patches that you might have downloaded from last Tuesday that your machine does in the background might have messed things up that now you'll get a patch to fix the patch. So I wouldn't do anything else quite yet. Only from the standpoint...
Well, don't do anything drastic. You can try removing that toolbar and putting it back.
Yeah, but the other parts of that function are working, so it's not like he doesn't have other means
Right. Wait just a week and see if the new patch coming out Tuesday fixes that. All right, our next caller is Al from Grand Island, New York. Unbelievable. How are you, Al? What's up?
Good morning. Great show, guys.
Thank you.
I got a problem with my Restore. It doesn't work.
Microsoft Restore?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And I had a new hard drive installed, and which seems to work fine. It's a 40 gig hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
And after reactivating a few programs, everything seems to be fine, but the Restore just doesn't. I get two error messages when I go to System and click on System Restore.
Oh, no, you're not using the Restore program, you're using a Restore point?
No, I can't get to that to the restore program at all.
Yeah, that's a known problem in Windows. The restore just doesn't work very well.
Yep.
What are the error messages that you get?
I get the first one, well, it says an exception occurred while trying to run.
Right.
And it says C:\Windows System/System32 /shell32.dll
Right.
Control.
All right, Al, hold on. We have to take a break. Back and just stay on the
research.
Line. Stay on the line. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wow. It's Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We have Al from Grand Island on the line. Now, Al, let me get this straight. You just reinstalled Windows on a system, right?
Yes. Well, I had it installed. I had a new hard drive put in, and they installed everything that was on the original hard drive.
But they probably did not install the old system restore stuff.
Right. Yes, that's correct.
So you don't have anything to restore.
Right. But I can't get to the program to activate the program, the restore system or the restore program. It will not go to that. I get when I click on system from that it goes to the two error messages, and then at the bottom of the error messages there's a box that says okay. And, I click that, and then
so
I
wait
go back to the original screen.
All right, wait a minute. You're trying to set it up so Windows starts doing restore points?
Yes.
Okay, all right, so what you want to do is...
different than the restore
program. Right, that's different. What you want to do there is you want to go into the control panel.
Right.
And it's under system, and there is a tab there that says system restore.
Right, that's where I'm going, yes.
And you click out, you turn... there's a button there that you can turn it off.
Right.
And if you uncheck that, then from there on, each reboot or once a day, it'll create a restore point.
And make sure you give it enough memory. If you have it set to minimum, you may have a problem. Set to maximum, you get somewhere between 10 and 15%. I forget exactly what it is. So you want to make sure that that's not turned off and that you've given it enough memory.
And then from probably sometime today, it'll create a restore point and thereafter.
You just have to wait for that to happen before you can actually click and see that.
One of the problems, though, is that viruses and spyware can hide in those restore points as well.
Yeah. So, well, that's where you turn it off.
I wonder if some of his antivirus software is in any way preventing him from doing that. From using it. That's an interesting thought. Our next caller is Marcy from Rochester, New York, who actually has an answer for us for a previous caller. I love it when people do that. Marcy, welcome.
Hi. I figured out what happened because I had it happen to me. It's a corruption of a Microsoft update.
Now, I should tell you, we're talking about Ed here at this point, who can't use that copy and paste buttons.
Yeah, it goes even deeper than that. It gets right down to Explorer. It got to the point where I couldn't even right-click on my computer, bring up Explorer, because then I couldn't click on any of the plus buttons. Nothing would expand down.
Mm-hmm.
I was having trouble in my software as well.
Right.
And AVG found that shell32.dll had been changed, not corrupted, not infected. And so I went back to Restore Point, reinstalled all of my stuff progressively, and discovered it's KB908. 531. If he goes and removes it and add remove programs, I think he'll find it works.
Cool.
But
thank you very much, Marcy. I appreciate that.
The problem is, though, that little thing down at the bottom will say, you've got to restore it. You've got to install this.
So then
I had to search my hard drive for that and eliminate everything, go to Microsoft and say, never show this thing to me again.
Right.
And now my computer runs nicely, and I sent them a nice little email telling them they have a problem and they'd best fix it.
Cool.
Thank you so much, Marcy. Fixes.
Yeah, and this is a Windows security update that came out just a couple of weeks ago. So it's one of those
mm-hmm.
So we may find that being fixed this coming Tuesday as well.
Yeah, one of those fixes that causes more problems than it fixed.
Yep. We're seeing a lot of that. Marcy, thank you. That's great. I really appreciate that. My favorite part is when people call up and tell us that stuff. Our next caller is Bill from Fairport. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
Hi. I was trying to do the update of the Stinger.
Oh, good. Right.
And I was following the directions where it says right click on my computer, click on properties, click right. on system restore tab.
Right.
Put a check mark on the turn off system restore on all drives. And when we did that, then it says you have chosen to turn off system control. If you continue, you'll delete all existing restore points.
Right. Yep.
And won't be able to track and undo changes. Whereby we got scared and said we better call Nick.
Yeah, it's okay to do that. The system restore is something we've already talked about a couple times in the show today. Uh-huh. It lets you go back to an earlier point before you may have screwed something up.
Okay.
There are a couple of problems with that. One, it does not work particularly well.
Okay.
And secondly, many, many viruses hide in the system restore area and cannot be removed by antivirus programs.
Okay.
But turning off the system restore gives them nowhere left to hide.
Okay. All right, one thing though, Bill, are you having problems with your computer?
No.
Then don't run. Then you don't need to turn that off. If your antivirus software is up to date,
yep, it is.
Then you don't have to return the restore point off.
So we just
you're only turning that off if there is an issue with the computer that it's you think you might have a virus.
Okay.
But well, but turning it off does give the viruses one less place to hide.
Yeah, but if he's got his antivirus already up to date.
Exactly.
And it stays that way.
And it's staying that way, then you don't have to do the Stinger.
And he doesn't run across a virus that the antivirus doesn't
because
know about.
Right. Okay. And which most
of
them...
What do I do? Just follow on? The
just Stinger? Follow on from there.
Yeah. So that way you'll feel a little more comfortable.
And our job is to make you feel comfortable.
One can hope, but you know we should mention again how we're going to be doing. If folks want to learn more about safe surfing, that we're going to be this Wednesday from 6:30 to 9:30 at Frontier Learning Center. That's 3441 West Henrietta Road. If you call 234-0326, you can register to hear us talk about safe surfing and your computers.
I can't wait. It's going to be fun. We've been doing these off and on for a while, and I'd like to do a lot more of them because they're a lot of fun. Gets us out meeting the folks, gets people's questions answered. Mostly it gives us a chance to focus in on one specific thing that's very important, and there's almost nothing more important than safe surfing for you. And in particular for your kids. So if you're a parent, this is a very important thing for you. We're going to take a quick break. Well, we're going to let Rob Jason is in. He's going to give us news, weather, sports, all kinds of important and interesting things. And we're on the other side of that. We're going to talk about a brand new hard drive coming out that's going to blow your socks off. And a whole bunch of other things with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Rob Linton, with me, Nick Francesco, and with each and every one of you on the single greatest computer show in the entire known universe, Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, a beautiful 49 degrees here in
raining
deep pearl gray Rochester, New York.
Dang.
This is Sound Bites. We're going to get back to the phones in just a couple of minutes. So if you're on the line, hold on. But first, we'd like to talk a little bit about what goes on our website, soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week, we do a poll. Last week's poll was about desktops. Every year, I believe, for the past 10 years has been predicted to be the year of the Linux desktop. Every year for the past 20 years has been the year the universe wakes up and dumps Windows for the Mac OS. So far, neither one of those has completely occurred. And so my question is, with Vista coming out and people waiting, and now it's delayed another year and people wanted to buy a machine this Christmas, what desktop are you leaning toward? 299 of you voted, making it number 134 in the all-time hit list. So I want to thank each and every one of you. It appears that the vast majority of you, 49%, will be leaning toward Windows. Interestingly, I'm shocked at this, 30% of you are leaning toward Linux, 15% toward OS X, 4% toward something else entirely, and a lonely 5 people apparently accidentally clicked on Solaris, which is Sun's operating system, which is really a beautiful piece of work, actually. So that's an interesting thing. Windows followed by Linux, followed by OS X, followed by something else, followed by Solaris. This week's poll, it's about that new Microsoft patch that just came out. The question is, have you had problems with the recent Microsoft patch? Choices being yes, not yet, and of course, to make other people happy, the Linux and the Macintosh. So far, 63 of you have voted, 59% of you have not had problems yet, 17% of you the Macintosh, 13% the Linux, and 7 of you have indeed had problems.
Wait a minute. How do you know that this problem wasn't caused by a previous problem that patched the other previous problem, that fixed that previous problem?
Okay, thanks. Once you're done with the poll.
Well, look at the gentleman just a little while ago. His machine was working fine, so he got a patch. It was supposed to fix a patch that was fixing another previous problem. But now he's got to undo that one patch to correct the problem that he had from the previous patch.
I've still got a copy of DOS 3.1 if you'd like to have it.
That was one of the arguments I read in the blog. My Atari 800 didn't make the security list. So that means it's very secure, right?
Yeah.
So I can run DOS 3 and I don't have to worry about security.
Once you voted in the poll, underneath that poll choice, you'll find a little yellow box. If you click on Give Us Your Opinion, it will take you to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com. You ain't kidding, Buster. Where you can put in an actual opinion more than just clicking on a link. One person here actually had to call Microsoft and get a new registry key after they rebooted. One guy says, this sort of to your point, Steve, I guess having Windows ME doesn't sound so bad now.
Well, it's close.
Yeah. And then when you're done there, let me put in a little plug for AskNick.com. That's AskNick.com. Please feel free to wander around and see what's there. We've got some real interesting stuff. I put out a newsletter 3 times a week with tips and tricks and all kinds of stuff. Tips and tricks, website of the week, a Q&A, every once in a while a rant and rave, that sort of thing. I started doing rants and raves in there because, you know, for years I've been talking about, everybody talks about blogging and everybody wants to be, but I've never wanted to blog. But I have recently started a blog at the Security Tango website.
He has come to the dark side.
I have come to the dark side. If you go to securitytango.com, you will find that the third link down is actually leads you to Nick's blog. I'm doing a blog on security. I decided I didn't really want to do a blog about, you know, my life and how cool I am and all that other horse manure. But I really thought that a blog about security and my general misanthropic feelings about the security industry, I guess, would be best. So I started a blog. I've got a half a dozen entries in there so far, and check it out. You can not only read them there, but you can also get the RSS feed so that you can put it into your feed reader.
One of the other things that I'd like to put a plug in, though, that we've added, that you added for me, is on the website there, too. It's for the folks that
It's the fourth choice on the list.
Trying to get the downloads for all the programs that we suggest, whether it's Adaware, SpyBot, and all those others. We're now offering a CD that you can purchase, either pick it up at my shop or we can mail it to you, that has the latest and greatest updates that if you're still on dial-up or your machine is infected and can't get through to get all these, that we are now offering that.
I've been reading a website on and off for years on fake security, on things people think they're doing to make it secure. And one of my favorite stories was an airport
Stupid security.
Screener that confiscated a guy's keys.
Right.
Because it retracted into the keychain.
Right.
So that, you know, dressed businessmen didn't poke a hole in their pants with sharp keys. They confiscated the keychain because it was a switchblade, because it retracted in and out.
Yeah.
And it cost him $300 to get a new, you know, retractable electronic key from his car company.
Right, right, right. These people are mainly
mental midgets.
Good people, but every once in a while you run across one or two that just.
This is my other great one. Oh, back when the National Guard was guarding the airports, a guardsman shows up to, you know, for his duty shift, hands over his rifle, his bayonet, and, you know, all the other weapons he has, walks through the metal detector screener, who then confiscates his pocket knife. Hands him back his rifle, his bayonet, his grenade belt.
Actually, I have a link to Stupid Security. One of the other choices on the Security Tango website is Security News. If you're interested in reading the Security News, before you read my blog about the Security News, click on that one. It'll take you to a whole bunch of different security news. The bottom one is Stupid Security.
You know, I have the perfect solution for security.
Yeah? And what would that be?
Turn it off.
The easiest way to keep your computer safe is just unplug it from the internet. You know what I'm saying? And you'll be fine.
Unplug it from the internet, encase it in concrete, and drop it in the river.
Yeah. I mean,
it will never be bothered
again.
You
can't even plug these things into the wall anymore without having to worry about something.
Never, and never put a disc in it either, because you never know if there's going to be a virus on
the disc.
CD, right.
We were talking about Sony had that problem not too long ago, right?
Well, they did it to themselves. They did it to everybody else. They put a bug, they put a virus on the computer, on the CD.
Well, matter of fact, usually come next month, and especially into June, I start getting a lot of computers that kids are bringing them home from college. I even had one parent say, well, they weren't even, their dorm wasn't even hooked up to the internet. How can this thing get loaded with viruses? Well, kids would stop in, pop a disc in, and say,
here's
here's
what I downloaded
at
the coffee shop.
Yeah, here I
loaded. Or even you just worked on a file somewhere else, downloaded material you need to write a paper, and that thing was infected and stuck a virus on this.
So, yeah.
Floppy, yeah, absolutely. At any rate, check out my blog and let me know what you think. I haven't instituted comments yet. I wrote all this stuff for myself. I haven't instituted comments yet because I really don't want to be involved in all the comment spam that hits the net. So I don't quite know how to handle that.
Did you hear about the guy that got arrested for singing a Clash song in the taxi on the way to the airport? It's the London Calling song, and there's a line in it about, you know, the bombs of London. And the taxi driver called the police and had him arrested.
we are deep into silly season. But let me know what you think of my blog. And then check out AskNick.com. And then come back to our website, soundbites.org. You'll find all kinds of fascinating stuff under the links, under the FAQs, and, of course, in the forums. The coolest people in the world hang out there and chit-chat every single day. They're nifty folks, so check them out. Before we get back to the phones, I want to talk a little bit about one more news item. Seagate. A PDF accidentally showed up on the Seagate website. Seagate makes hard drives. Many of you will have a Seagate device in your machine.
Good hard drives.
They're good hard drives, but they have the latest details. We talked a while ago about perpendicular hard drives. Mm-hmm. They can pack a lot more data. It looks like Seagate is bringing out two different models of their Barracuda drive, each of which will hold 750 gigabytes of data.
Cool.
I need five of those in a RAID array.
Breaking the 500 gig barrier now for the single largest drive.
Mm-hmm. You can't run them with every operating system.
Right.
You have to have XP or Linux, or I suppose they'll run under OS X because they're SATA or PATA, so they'll you can stick them right in there.
Yeah, we can support a 16 exabyte drive now.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, that should be enough.
Even though they don't make them.
But yeah, the two models have already shown up on the Seagate website. I believe they've been taken down again. But there are two new models that we can look forward to this year. One is the new SATA drive, serial ATA, and the other one is the old PATA drive, parallel ATA. Seagate representatives said that the information was very premature and was not supposed to be posted for several weeks. But they're only 7,200 RPM drives. We may find 15,000 RPM drives later. Who knows? All Seagate drives come with a 5-year warranty. I clearly, just so you know, Dave, when you build my next machine, I clearly want at least two of these.
No problem.
If not more.
I mean, That's the thing, though, and that's another reason why I like Seagate. You said one key thing. Warranty, 5 years.
5 year warranty. The drives are a little bit more expensive than some of the Mac stores or whatever, but you get a 5 year warranty. If anything goes wrong with that drive for 5 years, it gets replaced.
Well, that's where I have a number of issues, and I'm sure Steve runs into it too. These folks will sit there, well, I can go get this drive for so much cheaper. Yeah. What kind of warranty does it have? Because, hello, warranties are hard drives are no different than light bulbs. They're an electronic device, and it's going to be
with moving parts.
When you don't want it to fail, it's going to fail. And they don't always give warnings, you know, a week in advance. Oh, hey, I'm going to die on you next Wednesday at 2 o'clock.
Well, that's the smart system that I've never actually seen work.
Yes, they have moving parts. When you screw them in, how many people does it take to screw in a light bulb?
I ran into a situation this
week. No, wait a minute. Light bulbs don't have moving parts.
Who said they did?
You did.
He said they're electronic devices like light bulbs. I said, but with moving parts.
Okay.
What part of but with moving parts? Is it the but you didn't get? Because I used only one T in that particular instance.
I had an interesting situation this week that we had a customer with an HP brand computer. And he thought it was under warranty, so I call up HP. The hard drive had failed. Turns out it wasn't under warranty. You only get a 90-day warranty on refurbs from HP. And it was $300 for an HP OEM'd 80-gig hard drive.
Yeah.
When I pulled it out of his computer, it was a standard Western Digital 80-gig drive, so I sold him one for, what are they now, $60?
$60, yeah, like right. Right. Well, that's the big thing people don't get. You know, you're being penny-wise and pound-foolish. You save, what, $150 and buy it cheaper today, but a year from now or 2 years from now or 5 years from now, you got a problem with it, throw it away. For that extra few $100, you could have a warranty, which means it could be repaired and back to you quickly.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do the 80 gig with the 8K buffer. It's a few bucks more, but it makes
these
it
all have 16K
faster.
Buffers. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. If you're on the line, hang on. We will get to the phones after this break on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Exciting and new.
Yeah, baby. All right,
I'll be back.
Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
It's just waiting for you.
Stop.
Steve's got that Barry White thing going on.
And I got to sit between the two of them.
A friend of ours many, many years ago got married, and they had the Love Boat wedding. They sang the song. It was a beautiful thing. We decorated the theater as the Love Boat. It was wonderful. We had a lovely time.
We had, I don't know if I should admit this, but we had a Star Trek wedding.
Yes, you did.
With Picard and Crusher in dress uniform on top of the cake.
I thought you said in dresses on top of the cake. That would have been different. All right. Picard and Crusher.
Yeah. That was the unmentioned tension on the show for all those years.
Yeah. I'd like to hasten to tell everybody
Beverly
that was
Crusher,
the Beverly
not...
Crusher, not...
Not Wesley. See, that was the unspoken question.
That would have been really unspoken.
Yeah, well, it was Wesley Picard's son.
Yeah, right. Okay, for those of you who care...
it's raining here in Rochester.
it's 25 minutes after the hour. It's raining. It's 49 degrees. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I love the rain. You don't have to shovel the rain. I like the rain.
Great day to listen to radio.
None of my joints like the rain, but other than that, we're all good. Before we get back to the phones, and I know there are people patiently waiting, I want to talk about paint-on lasers. Researchers at the University of Toronto have produced a new form of laser that can be made by painting surfaces with a specific liquid. They're very small, low-power lasers, but this development could lead to very fast chip interconnections, circumventing a future barrier to faster computer designs. Computers have been getting faster and faster and faster, but researchers say that we're about to hit the wall with those. You can't get any faster using any of the technologies we now have. But now, using light to carry information through fiber optics, they're saying this should happen in about 10 years' time, just as we're actually hitting that wall. They'll be able to use light to do your computer, and the computers will take a leap forward in speed and power.
We've already seen companies hitting that wall. Both AMD and Intel aren't able to push the clock speeds any higher.
Right.
And they're going to dual core, or they're going to other styles of chips with lower clock speeds and shorter pipelines that can run faster.
Right. All right. Who's beeping?
That's my phone in my coat.
Stop calling him.
I'm on the air. Please stop calling me.
All right. Like he's going to answer the phone when he's on the air. Pay attention! All right, we're going to go back to the phones. We have Jim from Fairport on the line. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Yeah, it's a great show.
Thanks.
I'm running Millennium, and the only way I can boot it up is in safe mode.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it does go through the motions, and the Windows sound comes on the music, but it's just a gray screen if I just let it go, boot it up normal.
Now, have you tried installing Millennium over Millennium?
Millennium what?
Have you tried restoring Windows over Windows?
Yes. Doesn't work. It gets to a certain point, and then it just freezes up.
That's what I love about that OS.
Have you done a check of the hard drive itself?
No.
How old is this machine?
5-6 years.
Yep. I would suggest you do a scan of the hard drive itself. Go into safe mode and then do a scan disk.
Or even in DOS mode because it's still there.
Better in DOS mode. To do a scan disk of the system and see if, in fact, there's a problem on the hard drive. I've got to suspect that it's something more mechanical than it is software related.
Because if you're installing it over itself and it didn't do it, then 10-1 odds it probably is the hard drive.
When you're booting it up, something's not there to allow the video to come up?
Yeah, it sounds like something's caught somewhere and dies.
You might want to
just video driver is on a bad spot on the hard disk, so can't load it.
Or bring it in for a diagnostic you know, someplace could just easily tell you, whether it's
pretty
worth
quickly.
Fixing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like we, can do it. Usually tell you whether it's worth worth doing or not because... You know, like you said, it could be video. That old of a machine only costs you $30.
There's no way you can download anything off of safe mode, is there?
No, you're pretty well done there.
Okay.
Unless one of the options, I don't know, I forget what that means, whether you can do safe mode with networking.
Oh.
That might be there.
If that's there, go for it, but I'm not going to promise.
The floppy drive still works in safe mode, but the CDs won't. So.
Right.
If you still have a floppy drive on another computer.
Right, maybe.
Oh. So.
All right. Anyway, I think your best bet at this point is bringing in. The other thing they can do, of course, is take the hard drive out, put it on another machine, and diagnose it there.
Yeah, we can do more intense testing of both the video, because he was saying he wasn't getting any video.
Right. Bring it to one of these guys, and that'll be your best bet. Our next caller is Dan from Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Dan. What's your question?
I'm having problems with Norton Antivirus 2006.
Sure you are.
Yep.
I just installed it, and every time we go to do a system scan, it says that it's missing components from the Dynamic Link Library.
Yep.
Do you have any suggestions for that?
Yes.
Take it off your machine and use AVG, which is free, Adware, SpyBot, Zone Alarm for a Firewall.
Yeah, a lot of people are reporting problems with Norton 2006, and again,
let me make this blanket statement
to
each and every one of you. Pay attention. I know some of you stop listening when it's not your question. Pay attention to this. A lot of people are having problem with the Norton Security Suite, Norton 2006, any of the Norton products.
Yes.
Now is probably not the best time to pick those up and use them. We've been saying this for weeks and weeks and weeks.
They just went overboard. It's like they went from one extreme to do a darn good job.
They were great.
To where they went off the wall, and now they want to just block everything. I mean, to where you install it, it won't even allow you to get out to your email. You can't do any browsing. Before you were able to get to other machines on your network, it even locks down that.
Yeah.
To where you can't do anything.
And we have a bunch of free alternatives at the Security Tango website, securitytango.com.
Yeah.
So go there, Dan. Here's what you do. Okay. Uninstall Norton AVG. Quietly tuck the disk. The Norton antivirus. Quietly tuck the disk in the drawer labeled Life Lessons and download all the free stuff at the Security Tango website, and you'll be just as protected. It costs you nothing, and it all works.
Yeah, and it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I wish I had a better answer for you, but...
And that we could have saved you the $30 or so that you paid for that product. But then that's the other thing. It not only doesn't work well, it also slows the machine down so bad... Because it's trying to do all this stuff.
I don't know what they're testing these things on, but clearly it's like 11 gigahertz Cray machine
or
something. Because if you run it on a regular machine, it slows it way down. I'm not impressed.
No, they literally did themselves a disservice by bringing this product out.
And, oh, by the way, all of us.
Yeah, and not really trying, to test it out on various products.
Yeah. All right, our next caller, Bob from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
A question I've got for you is quite recently I've been having issues in saving files. And when I say that, when you go to file, save as.
Mm-hmm. This started last week, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
This is, we've talked about this. This is the update problem with Microsoft's latest security patch. In Office, you can't save things, load things, various problems with Word and Excel in particular. So.
I didn't catch the beginning of your program.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. The latest update from Microsoft, the security update that came out last Tuesday, broke everything on some people's machines. There's a brand new update coming out this Tuesday that's supposed to fix everything.
Okay.
Don't screw around with your machine. I hate to say this. You're kind of out of action until Microsoft deigns to step down from Mount Olympus and fix it. But
On Tuesday.
But don't screw around with the machine because the fix assumes you haven't done anything else to the machine.
And I have not done anything with the machine.
Good. You can continue to use whatever's still working.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't go screwing around, moving files
trying
uninstall things.
Uninstall and all this other stuff.
Just leave it the way it is. The next error... there's a little Freudian slurp for you. The next update should fix that error.
Awesome.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I hate to be telling people just to shut up and wait, but much that's at this
they
point
wait two
the
more
best
days,
thing to do.
And hopefully it will fix the fix.
Alternately, of course, you can just completely wipe out your hard drive and install Ubuntu Linux. Or you can take a hammer to the machine and go out and buy a Mac.
Or, no, they could wind up...
Well, those are your choices.
Yep.
Or they could uninstall Microsoft Office and go for OpenOffice.
Which is also 100% free.
And, oh, by the way, one of the other features that I like in OpenOffice that you can do is you can create a document and then save it as a PDF, export it as a PDF.
Automatically, right?
Automatically,
right away.
Built into
right
it.
Right from the software. I've been using OpenOffice for the longest time. Nobody even knows. In fact, I'm using OpenOffice on a Linux box and sharing it with Windows people. They don't even know. I'm not using it.
It's seamless.
It's a wonderful program. It's fast. It's one of the problems that it has, and I'm always honest about these things, is it's very slow to boot up. It's not really. The thing is, when Windows loads, it loads about half of Office into it when it boots up. So loading the rest is really very fast. Whereas OpenOffice stays out of your way until you actually need it, so it takes longer to load.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's magnificent, and I recommend it highly to everyone. Our next caller, Howard from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Howard. What's your question?
Yes, I installed a small printer for my digital camera last week, and it took over the printing. I can't use the other printer now, my main printer. When I go to print, the small printer is on. So I uninstalled it, hoping that I could get an answer from you on how to be able to use both of them.
Well, 10-1 odds, when you installed the new printer, one of the options that you suggested.
It's an HP printer, isn't it?
I'm sorry?
It's an HP printer, isn't it? Hewlett Packard.
No, it's a Canon.
Oh, really?
What he might have done is when he installed the new printer, it asks you, and a lot of folks just click OK, yeah. Is do you want this to be my default printer? And if you just blew by that, the default is yes. So if you wanted to use your, if you have this other printer that you use most of the time, when you're installing the new printer, you got to read that question whether you want the new one to be your default printer or not.
And after the fact, if you go into Start Settings Printers, you can right-click on the one you want to be default and choose Set as Default. So now it's the default printer.
Right. Most printing dialog boxes where you see the name of that printer, you'll see a down arrow next to it on the right. If you click on that, it'll show you all the other printers installed on your system, in this case, one other, and then you can click on that. So you can always get to the non-default printer, mm-hmm. but in general, you should make the default the one you most prefer to use all the time.
Super.
Okay.
Super.
Okay. Good
Thanks.
Luck.
Super.
Yeah.
All right. Our next caller is Ginny from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Ginny. What's your question?
Good afternoon, guys. I recently upgraded from Office 97 to Office 2003.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when I go from a web page to try to email, let's say, that particular web page, I used to always come up with Outlook Express, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's coming out Outlook.
Okay, that's easy to correct.
That's because you installed Office, and Office assumes you want to use Outlook.
Yeah, you just got to go into, let's see, it goes into the control panel and Internet options. You go over to the tab that says Programs, and there's one there that says Email, and you've got to change that from Outlook to Outlook Express.
Also, the next time if you manually launch Outlook Express, it should say, do you want to set Outlook Express as your default email program?
And then you say yes.
Yeah. Outlook's biggest advantage over Outlook Express is it has a calendaring program built in. So you can set calendar events and tasks and appointments.
For an but intranet.
Or for a single user. But it's mostly intended for a small network or large businesses.
A big network that's
have,
using Exchange.
Yeah, that have an Exchange server so you can schedule appointments in your work group.
I see. Could you just say the steps once more? A little.
Okay, you go
launch Outlook Express, and it should say, do you want to set Outlook Express as your default email reader? And you say yes.
But if it doesn't, go into the control panel.
Okay.
Under Internet Options.
Right.
There's a tab that says Programs. And there's a tab there that says Email. If you click down the arrow button, you'll be able to select Outlook Express.
Okay.
All righty.
Very simple solution.
There you go. Those are the only kind we can manage, Jenny, because we are very simple people. Rob, do we have time for another question before the break? Yes, we do. And so we're going to talk to Paul from Livonia, New York. Welcome, Paul. What's your question?
Okay. Hi, guys. Listen, I have a rather messy desk in my study, but if my wife messed with it, and you know, there is a system to where I put my stuff.
Sure.
And if somebody comes in and interrupts it, it really reduces my ability to work.
Sure.
Anyway, on the desktop on my Windows XP machine, I'll shut it down after a session. The next day I come back on, and everything is rearranged on the desktop, and I hate that. I always have my security Tango stuff in one corner and my Microsoft Office applications in another corner and the Palm stuff in another corner, and it's all scrambled, and it's very random. Isn't there some way that I can tell Windows to lay off this and leave the logos the way it is?
Yes, but we're going to have to wait until after the break because Rob lied to me when I said, do we have time for another? We clearly had time for the question, but not for the answer. So please hang on the line, Paul, and we'll get back to you in just a couple of
minutes.
You
need to be
more
specific when you ask me questions.
I have something I'd like to say to you after we go to break, but we'll do right now and be back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Gooder talk you can understand. It's Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Well, we're moving on.
In the sky. Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton. Today is television theme day.
Apparently it is. Television shows that you probably never saw because you were way too young.
Okay, I missed that program, though.
Okay, I think Sherman Hensley's on the new episodes of Surreal Life.
They have Sherman Hensley in them?
Yeah. But his wife passed away, right? The actor, whatever her name is?
Oh, Wheezy? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I think she died, didn't she?
Yeah, she passed.
Oh.
All right, we have Paul on the line who has a problem with his icons. Paul, it's real simple. It may be real simple to fix this. What seems to have happened is that Windows has forgotten to remember where your icons are. There are several ways to fix this. Are you there, Paul?
Yes, I am.
Okay, there are several ways to fix this that may or may not work.
it's Windows.
Well, it's the Windows desktop just gets amnesia every once in a while. It's a little bit of Alzheimer's. It forgets things. But if you click on the background, not on any of the icons.
Put
but
all your
background.
Icons where you want them to go.
Okay. Yeah, right. Put all your icons where you want them to go. Then click on the background and hit the F5 key. The theory is Windows is now supposed to remember where the icons were and keep them that way.
Save them without shutting down.
In addition, if you right-click on the background, you'll see a drop-down menu. The top choice is Arrange Icons By.
Right.
Make sure that name and size and type and modified are not checked.
Yeah, if you have any of those arrangements on, then anything you do yourself will get overridden by that arrangement.
Right. Uncheck Auto Arrange.
Okay.
Uncheck Run the Desktop Cleanup Wizard. And then get out of that and then do that F5 thing one more time.
Wait, you mean there's a desktop wizard that cleans your desktop when you're not running the machine?
Yes.
Well, it'll tell you.
No,
yeah,
when,
you
when
haven't,
you're running
you,
them, right.
Yeah, it'll tell you, you haven't used these icons in quite a while. Would you like to clean them up?
And it removes them off your desktop and puts them into a folder that says unused icons.
Right. Oh, okay.
There you go. And so definitely try those things and see what happens. Let us know. Thanks. Our next caller, Will from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Will. What's your question?
Well, good afternoon, guys. You're doing a terrific job.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, 2 days ago, somehow my Outlook Express will not allow me to send a message out. I'm getting messages in, okay,
mm-hmm.
but I can't get any out. When I try to get a message off, like a reply to, let's say, my daughter out of state, and it says there was an error opening this message. An error has occurred. Okay? Subsequently, there was another message that says the address book failed to load. Outlook Express is incorrectly configured. Please reinstall.
I'm working on a machine right now that has this problem.
Yep.
Oh, yeah?
The problem is I can't find an installer for Outlook Express. It's
right,
buried
it's
inside
in,
Windows.
Right.
Yeah, it's built in within...
this by any chance happen this week, this last week?
Yeah, it happened...
Tuesday.
No more than 2 days, 3 days ago.
Yeah. I'm wondering if this isn't part of the update.
Yeah.
It
is part of Office.
The problem is that Microsoft's... update, as I said at the beginning of the show, the security patch has caused a massive number of problems.
Wow.
And they won't tell us what they all are.
Yeah.
They're Office related, and Outlook Express is a part of Office.
Well,
it's a part
not,
of Windows,
quite, yeah.
but still.
Or Windows, yeah, Windows. Right.
It's just hard to know what they all are. They tell us that
they're not
are,
giving us the whole story.
They aren't giving us the whole story.
And yeah, one of the fixes for this specific issue with Outlook Express is to reinstall Service Pack 2, which contains an updated version of Outlook Express. I've tried that on one of my machines. Well, you can't download Service Pack 2 to begin with.
Right.
So I had ordered a CD a long time ago.
Well,
the CD won't install.
Because
I get
you got the newer Service Pack.
Sorry. Rob, did you say that SP2 CD will not install?
His won't.
Yes.
No. Steve's won't.
Yeah,
Steve's got an SP2 and CD, and
but
it won't
if you've
reinstall.
Got SP2,
so I have to go back a couple more steps and remove some of the updates that have already been put in so I can put the SP2 back in, and it's a mess.
Yeah.
I'm almost to the point where I just want to reload Windows.
Will, I know it's a pain in the neck, but if you can hold out a couple of days, wait until the Tuesday update
see
and see if that fixes the problem, because It's just one of those things that Microsoft screwed up, and hopefully they'll be fixing it by this Tuesday. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave, Steve, Rob, Nick, and you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Whams. Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Before we get back to the phone, we have a public service announcement. If you have an HP notebook, a Hewlett-Packard notebook, for the second time in 6 months, HP is recalling notebook computer batteries because of an internal failure that causes the battery to overheat and melt or char the plastic case, posing a burn and fire hazard. In October, they recalled 135,000 laptop batteries, and now they're recalling another 15,700. The batteries and will have a barcode label starting with L as in Larry, 3 as in 3, as in S'Company, just to make you happy and get you back into those TV shows. L3. The computers that may contain the recalled batteries have serial numbers that start with D as in David, V as in Victor 1, or Z as in Zeta, E as in Edward 2. In the HP Pavilion family, in the HP Compaq family, it's NX48. In the Compaq Presario family, it's V as in Victor 2, M as in Michael 2. So if you bought a computer between January and December of 2005... or a separate battery pack, stop using the L3 coded batteries immediately. If you have a battery whose barcode label starts with L3, stop using it immediately. Make contact with HP. Steve will put this on our website, or you can call them at 888-202-4320, 888-202-4320.
They also have a recall on their L2035 flat panel monitors saying something got installed wrong. You could get shocked. They have several different recalls running now.
Yeah, they do. We'll get back to the phones in a second, but one more time.
Yeah, we got to remind folks that this Wednesday from 6:30 to 9:30 at the Frontier Learning Center, that's 3441 West Henrietta Road, the three of us are going to be doing a seminar, free seminar, on safe surfing, but you got to call and make reservations. It's 234-0326. Leave your name and phone number and say that you want to come to the safe surfing seminar, which is free on Wednesday from 6:30 to 9:30.
But you must register. Our next caller is Dick from Greece. Welcome, Dick. What's your question?
How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. Listen, I got an IBM ThinkPad that refuses to go into standby so I can get to my screensaver. Not that that's important, but it keeps flipping up an error message that I can't get into standby because some program is running. Is there any way to determine what program is running and thereby?
It doesn't tell you?
No, it's just a blue flag comes up with a warning label on it that a program is running and I can't get into standby.
You might have to look down in the toolbar and see what's running there, and one by one, you know, it's going to be a little detective work. Disable each program one at a time to see which one is causing the issue.
To see even more of them, right-click on the taskbar, which is that button bar across the bottom where all your programs show up. Make sure you click on the bar itself, not on one of the buttons, and select Task Manager. That'll bring up a list of all of those programs, and you can quickly see what's actually running and what you might have to shut down. If you go into applications, you'll see them running there. Processes will tell you a little bit about what's going on, but again, you'll find a half a dozen service hosts, and you'll be overwhelmed by that. But that might help as well. Without an error message to tell us which program it is, that's kind of hard.
A pretty useless error message.
It's useless.
It's 100% correct and completely unuseful.
Yeah, exactly. So clearly it was done by a computer engineer. But that's your best bet, Dick. All right, our next caller is not going to... We have no time? Are we out of time? Are you telling me we're out of time? We have 1 minute. I want to apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. I want to thank everybody who called in. Next week, those of you still on the line, please call earlier. We're going to be at the Frontier Seminar. Don't forget, this Wednesday at 6:30. Give them a call, 234-0326, to reserve your seat. If you don't have a reserved seat, then you can't come. We'll be back next week with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. We're going to take your calls. We're going to have news. We're going to have excitement and fun and interesting stuff. In the meantime, we've got the poll. We've got the forums. Please check out my blog at thesecuritytango.com. I'm pushing that. I just want to see if anybody's even going to read it. And join us online in the forums where the coolest people on earth hang out. We'll be back here next Sunday at 11 o'clock. For everybody on Soundbites, I'm Nick Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.